Titus 2.
But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you all to the program. For those who called in, it's 646-668-2636. We see you there on the keyboard and the switchboard. If you press one on your keypad, we'll bring you into the conversation. Let us know that you're there. Acknowledge that you want to join the conversation and you want to share. You know, tonight is Father's Day weekend. This is the Thursday before Father's Day. So something I wanted to do, give opportunity to share our stories of the joy of fatherhood. I know there's a lot of things that are talked about on Father's Day, but I wanted to lift up the joy of fatherhood. And hopefully we have some brothers who can call in and want to share their experiences being fathers and being in the lives of their children, watching their children succeed and grow and mature. And just to encourage your brother, because we know at different levels of some fathers may be struggling with their children. They may be struggling because they're young and they deal with the finances in the home and raising them in school, and they might have adult children. But yet, we need to be encouraged in that, knowing that, you know, our adult children are going to figure it out, and they're going to come through on the other side. But then there are also challenges in how we support as fathers, but there's still a joy there. There should be a joy for all seasons of fatherhood. Something we say all the time here, it's just Christian Men's Talk, is that, you know, fatherhood, that's a lifelong vocation, ministry. You don't retire from it. Amen. And it's fathering at different levels and different seasons. So hopefully we have some brothers who are willing to call in and share the joy of fatherhood and then be able to encourage someone out there. I'm going to open with prayer, and then we're going to go right into the conversation. We've got a couple of brothers on the line. We're going to bring them in. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, please press one on your keypad. We acknowledge you. I see a couple of brothers up there already. But if you want to join the conversation and want to share, please. Just press one and you keep it and we'll come to you. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I thank you for being our Father. I thank you for sending your sacrifice and your Son on our behalf that we may be reconciled back to you, Lord God. So we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to strengthen the brothers out there, every father who is in need of guidance, direction, support, accountability, encouragement. Touch their hearts today, oh God. Strengthen them, God. No matter what they've been able to deal with, their circumstances, God, may it be financial, physical, emotional. Send a word. Send a ministering angel. Send someone, oh God, to encourage that brother right now, Lord God. And you, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to touch families today. We pray for marriages. We pray for children. We pray for the church, the body of Christ, oh God, those who are called by your name. We pray for elders, deacons, elders, ministers, pastors, those who labor behind the scenes to shepherd your people, oh God. Father, we pray today for the persecuted church all over the world that are being tried and tested and killed just for the name of Jesus, God. So we pray their strength today, oh God, their perseverance, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, today that you touch leaders, oh God, governmental leaders, oh God, in this country and all the countries, oh God. Because, God, you have the heart of the king in your hands. So, Father, we ask that you guide them and direct them for the purposes, oh God, that you know that we may not even see. So continue, God, to bless them. Give them favor, give them wisdom, give them favor, give them discernment. They make the right choices as, God, they lead your people. They lead in these government agencies, God, from the president to the Senate, to the Congress, to the mayors, to the county executive, the city council, the school boards. We all are in need of a word and the wisdom of God in all our positions. So, Father, I thank you right now for what you're doing. Continue to bless me and my family and the families of the brothers I'm connected with by spirit, oh God, and those I'm connected with by blood. Continue to strengthen us, oh God, as we continue to press into the things of God. Father, we ask that, God, you show us your will, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, brothers, I'm going to start with something. There was an article I was reading that helped when I got into this, to come to this topic. There's an article in the Christian Post, and the article is My Prayer, Fathers Discovering the Joy of Fatherhood. I just want to read a segment of it right now just to get us start our conversation, and then I'm going to go to the switchboard, go to the phone lines, and some brothers pray, and then I'm going to share a little bit, and we're just going to just keep it going. Amen? Amen. So first of all, the article speaks about, as fathers, we have a unique calling to lead our children in the right direction. Each of our children is different, and each will answer a calling that is perhaps unexpected. And, of course, all of them are experiencing the world right now that is unlike anything we've ever imagined. Because, man, things going on now we couldn't even think about when we were younger. But yet we are fathers. Amen? So that's the article. With so much at stake, accepting the responsibility of fatherhood is not for the faint-hearted. Yet when we do, we find our energies result in a tremendous reward of joy. Jesus' disciple John wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Who would have thought that experiencing joy requires so much energy? Today, we're leading our children through an economic minefield, not to mention the nation is rocked by the school shootings, so much violence is going on, and the rise in depression and anxiety in young kids. Talk about school-age kids and children of in elementary school, because from the isolation of COVID and now even going back. So there's a lot of studies and a lot of things to write about the mental health of our children. So as fathers, there's a place for us to be able to bring order to the chaos, to settle their spirits and to encourage them. Amen. But again, I'll reference that article and we'll read something else from it later on. But the article is found in the Christian Post. You can go to the website at www.christianpost and type in my prayer that fathers discover the joy of fatherhood. Amen? Amen. So with that, I just wanted to encourage the brothers that listen. Think back. Because sometimes we have to step back, step out of in the midst of what we're going through, or even to reminisce. To think about when we first realized we were going to be fathers, when our wives, our girlfriends, whatever, when they got pregnant and we first found out we were going to be a father and a child was on the way, how did we feel? Did we feel joy at that time? Did we feel anxious? Remember all those feelings. Then move from that to eight, nine months later when the child was actually born. Then move into, you know, when you first held your child. Your daughter, your son, for the first time, especially your firstborn. And these are the things that we think about when we think about joy. Now, through all of that, and now growing them up. Remember, I mean, some of us have older kids. My children are older. Oh, man, how old are my kids? Like, they're in their 40s right now. So I have a 4-year-old, 30-year-old, and a 20. They're all mixed in there. But remembering when they were small, when they depended on you, the how you spent time, when the things you did, and they were young, is coming up, even when you had to discipline them. These are the joys of now seeing how the fruit of your labor has grown and to be able to see them grow. See your children have children and see how they're handling the situations. And even as a father, stepping back and encouraging them when they come to you and seek wisdom. You know, one time I want to share this, is that someone told me one time, you get to a certain age, when you get to a certain age and your children get to a certain age where you have to stop talking and see if they come to you and ask your opinion. Because sometimes we forget that our children are grown. Just as we matured and grew from our parents' home, our children are the same way. And sometimes we have to pull back and let them figure things out. But trust me, I'll say this, and I hope some more brothers out there that can help me and back me up. They'll come to you for advice and wisdom. And that's when you can share it. But if you're constantly trying to, to dictate, to give them advice they didn't ask for, giving your opinion on everything, I'll just say this, brothers, think about how you're talking to your adult children, and especially if they have their own families. Something they may have to figure out. Something they may have to figure out with their spouse. But when they come to you, are you prepared? Are you in a place where you can give them wisdom, that you can speak out of what God, Word of God says, what the Holy Spirit leads you to guide them through, or just not out of your emotions? Amen? Amen. So I'm going to plant that seed for us to think about tonight. Let me go to the phone. Let me go to the switchboard here. We're going to go to our first brother. Let's see here. Your last four numbers are 9662. Praise the Lord, brother. How are you?
Hi, praise the Lord, Deacon Father. This is Deacon Gibbs. Can you hear me? I hear you.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
I hear you over Roger, loud and clear.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Amen.
It's just wonderful to hear your voice after so long, but we're always in the spirit, so we're always connected.
Amen, amen. So what do you say, sir? That joy of fatherhood, what can you reminisce about?
Oh, I can tell you everything that you just mentioned. I was just, as you were going through it, I was checking everything off because after four sons, 24 now, almost 22, 19, and almost all boys, by the way, I have gone through every season with these young men. And I can tell you that it has only been because of patience and understanding where they are, meeting them where they are at different ages, that they still come to me today. I think that if I had at any point not taken into account who they are, what they thought, and then redirected what they thought to truth, that we'd be in a different place right now with my sons. These guys, I love them. I love them all equally. But yeah, it has been, challenging, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Amen, amen, brother. As a matter of fact, since you're here, you get a free plug. I know you may not have a copy in front of you, but I know you wrote that book. You wrote your book. And is it still out there, available on, Amazon or somewhere?
It is. I wrote the book back in 2014. Praise God, it's doing well. I wrote a book in 2014. It's called Black Man Rise. You can probably figure out that I'm a black man. and it is it is a collection of life lessons that was inspired by my nephew, who was going through something as a young man and didn't have guidance in his life. And I decided that I would provide that guidance. And then it just occurred to me, listen, there may be some other folks that, you know, don't have a male figure in their life, and they need some guidance that, you know, depending on the situation, they need a point of reference that is not the Bible, because the Bible has the answer to everything. We know that. But this is just another resource that talks about a number of things that these young men are going through, and it breaks it down from my experiences with my sons and my own life. And it's still available on Amazon. Black Man Rise, Robert Gibbs. Just look for the little icon with the four young men with their backs to you. I'm not the Robert Gibbs that is President Obama's spokesperson, so don't get his folks, please.
Lord, okay, that's we don't own the rights. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you separated that for the people. But amen. So and brother, I appreciate you calling in, and I remember the book. I read it. It's on my shelf. Man, I think I got a couple copies on my shelf now. You made me go back, and I think we need to redistribute it for Father's Day. You just gave me a thought here. So we're going to see how it goes, see how fast Amazon can get it to me. Amen? But in that, you know, when we're talking about the joy of it, you know, because let me say it like this. Father's Day is for some reason, I'm going to ask you this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you this. On your opinion, with the raising your four sons and nephews, first of all, I want to be transparent with my brothers out here. This is one of my first cousins, so we know each other from sleeping over and sleeping on top of each other on the couch, on the floor, grandma's house, all that stuff. But anyway, what do you think? What is your thoughts about why? Where does the struggle come from? From people connecting with their father, or trying to, the question the right way. But there's a lot of contention when it comes to fathers and their children. Depending, is it a certain age, or what is it? In your opinion, what you experience, where does that tension come from, and then the best way you would tell a father that's, your junior, how to go get through that thing. What do you say, sir?
Right. So I think, and I've had this experience, I think that it goes in stages. When your children are young, you are their giant, right? Literally their giant, because you're so much bigger than they are. They look up to you for everything. They depend on you for everything. And so those are the formative years. Those are the years where what you say is gold, right? They'll listen to you up until a certain point. Then they get to the outside influences. And this is where we start to have the problems. The outside influences, the friends, the feel-good people, the you won't get caught if you do it this way, folks. If nobody sees me, I didn't really do it, right? And so it's those outside forces that counter what you've taught them for, let's say, 10, 12 years of their lives. You know, they get into adolescence, and, the high schools and the junior high schools and so on, and they want to be part of the crowd. Well, the crowd is often going in the wrong direction. And so, you try to raise them up, you try to teach them and give them the wisdom that you have, because, quite frankly, you've done it and failed, so you know better, and you try to give them that wisdom. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times you get overwhelmed by so many external influences. And so to your question of what do you do when you come across that, is there's two things you can do. You can double down and be more punitive, right? So when they're trying to do this thing of exploration and trying to figure things out and following the wrong path, you can really get on their case about it. that's probably not going to work, because we know that our children, when you tell them don't, not, can't, shouldn't, they do, will go the other way, you know, don't listen. And so you can do it that way, or you can say, listen, this is, I've been where you are, I've already done that, right? This is what's going to happen, and you can let them bump their head. Now, you don't want them to get hurt, but they will have to learn a lesson. And so when they learn that quick, not-so-painful lesson, then they'll say, you know what, Dad was right. Let me go back to Dad about some other stuff. And maybe let me just throw some other stuff on his plate and see what he says about this. So it's that letting them kind of test the waters without letting them drown, and then coming back and you know, give them the life preserver so they get the life preserver and then they start to swim on their own.
Amen, amen. And I like that what you said, because you're right. Sometimes that's why I'll say this to the brothers. This is why I think communication is good, even if it's a son or a daughter, that they're constantly telling them, you're constantly reminding them, you know, this is not going to be a good, this may not be a good outcome for you. You may get away with it. But then when it actually, how you say, when the prophecy comes true, and I think that's where a lot of kids, they switch it to now, oh, they know what they're talking about. He knows what he's talking about because that happened. Or the other part, you know, but by the grace of God, they might see it happen to their friends, and you already prophesied that thing. So now they know, you know what you're talking about, and now they'll, like you said, they'll slowly gravitate back to you to get your insight, your wisdom, and ask you those questions, and seek the guidance and help. Because you're right. Sometimes, you know, punitive and disciplined. Because, you know, even in that, in my own, so I had to learn. Had to learn different ways. And I thank God for that, because, you know, you had to learn. Because your first child, he said, bruh, the first one, that's a test child. So, you know, it is what it is. But all the ones after that, I hope the son and sons ain't listening. But, you know, the first child, every brother know what I'm talking about. Your first one, that's a test child. So all the other kids behind that, they're always going to think they had it, you know, it was, the first child is going to remind you how you used to be. The other kids are going to, you know, you know, you're Superman. That Superman status lasts a little bit longer with all the kids. Amen.
Right, right. You are speaking life. My firstborn still tells me, Dad, they get away with everything. I didn't get away with nothing.
Sir.
So, yeah, you're speaking truth.
Amen. That is a fact. That's how it goes. But, hey, if I wasn't learning, and you know what I'm saying? That means I'm smart enough to learn. I did better with the other ones. And, you know, it's your firstborn is your firstborn. You know, I used to joke with my mom about my father passed, but and my parents, I say, you know, we grew up together. But Sabrina, my sister and my brother, you know, they had it easy. But all of us grew up together. So I remember, yeah, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a different absolutely.
Yeah. We grew up together. The firstborn child grows up with you, you know. But anyway, but you know, but I want to encourage the brothers out there listening. And when we're talking about the joy of fatherhood, in the midst of everything that we have to do as fathers, because I'm gonna hit you some bullet points and I want to get your opinion on it. But I do want to say that, you know, we have to be rooted and grounded. And for us as Christian men, we have the Word of God. We have counsel prayerfully. We have older, mature men in our lives, pastors, elders, or just, you know, more mature men who've been walking this thing out. They've been fathers. They've been grandfathers. They've been in the church. They've seen some things. They've seen lives and cultures, and they can help us along some stuff. Because like I say, it's better that I learn from another man's mistakes than learn from my own. Amen. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned for myself is I have to watch and see what's going on with other folks. Because even today, I can look back on choices I made and choices I didn't make, choices that my parents told me, and then I've seen other brothers, other men, other people make choices that didn't work out for them so well. So and then I say, well, you know, they were right. It was a reason why I couldn't stay out. I had to come home at 10 o'clock. I had to come home at 9 o'clock. I had a curfew, stuff like that, when everybody else is still out there all summer. And then, you know, yeah, you missed everything. But, hey, thank God I missed some stuff. Amen?
Right.
So
amen.
That's important. So this, obviously that's the thing. And then these are the joy. Because even in what's going on, you have these moments. Because, you know, I could say this for a young brother with young kids. You're going to have moments. And now I'm going to say this, too. Because, again, we're men of a certain age. I remember that we used to watch, because everybody's prosperous now. Because my first couple of years of my life, there was only one TV in the room. And we used to watch everything. Everybody used to watch everything together. I think I was in high school too. We got another TV. But but these are the moments and these are the things that I think this generation of fathers, you need to think about that. Everybody's in a separate room. Everybody's on the phone, the laptop, and computer. I mean, it's hard. But if you set a mindset, because we do our men's ministry. We talk to young fathers about that. There should be a no electronics time during the week where you're sitting around and actually talking to one another. And I think that's something because of the way the technology and the culture has changed. We have to, on purpose, where I could say in our generation, we didn't have that struggle. Because if we had, you know, there was one TV, one big TV in the living room, and then when it's time to go to bed, everybody went to bed. There was no TV in my room, like I said, till I was in high school. Amen? But this is just me sharing.
Exactly.
I think that's one of the things. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's amazing that you say that because in all the years that, and you know, my kids, the older two have their own room and the younger two have a room together. And it wasn't until my oldest son turned 21 that he was able to have a television in his room. I mean, that's post-college graduation. Like, that's, you know, he's one foot out the door. The least I could do is let him have a television in his room. But everyone else, no, they still don't have a television. So the other three are looking at me like I'm crazy. And I said, well, you don't understand. You know, this is a grown person, you know, now in still in the home, and he has certain rights and privileges. And so they aspire to be that, but to your point, you really can't do that. You cannot let your child, son or daughter, have the whole world behind a door that they can close, because then you really get locked out. Then you really don't know what's going on. So it's a challenge, and I tell you, you know, people think, well, it's just a cell phone. It's not just a cell. They can get to the ends of the universe with that phone. And so you have to be really, really careful about this technology situation and, you know, video and audio and communications that are going on. It is a treacherous, treacherous area. And for both men and women, and not just women. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just the girls. No, it's the young men, too. Everyone is at risk. And so as fathers, we have to be on watch and give them the education and the information that they need to keep themselves safe.
Amen. And like I said, you know, like I said, a young father now, you know, it's not such a technological gap. I want to use the word. So you know what needs to be done. There's tools out there, and like you said, I like what you said, because we have to be watchmen. We're called to be watchmen of our families. And you know, the internet and all this stuff. I remember when the internet started, and even then, it was no one really knew until, again, you learn from the mistakes of others. And now, it's so much out there that you have to be on guard. So you have to monitor. You have to you have to monitor where they're going on, what's going on, and you know, and if they don't, laptops, all of it, tablets. But you just have to be mindful of it. You can't be, I would encourage a young father not to be lackadaisical about it, not to take it for granted. Because even with 8-year-old, you got 8-year-olds now, they could pick up an iPhone and they know how to get an app, play a game, turn it on. I got a granddaughter, she's like 3. She'd be calling me. She'd be FaceTiming me on the phone, on my mother's phone. I'm going, okay. I said, you know what I'm saying? I don't remember knowing how to dial a phone until I was in the 5th grade, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. But
well, you weren't able to touch the phone without permission, so that's different.
Oh yeah, that's right, brother. Thank you very much. You're right. That's right. You had to ask to use the phone. I forgot about that.
Yes, sir.
Oh my goodness. But anyway, yes, sir. But again, it's the same kind of thing, though. That even with the technology, we as fathers, we are called to be mindful. Amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here live. We're live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And you can call in at 668-2636. Or you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can listen to this broadcast and all our previous episodes over the last, this is our 7th year. And we've talked about a lot of things. We talked about life, death, marriage, relationships, issues, the issues that men of God deal with. Because as we know, we have more in common than we are different. And the issues we deal with are similar to the issues of the unbeliever. But yet, we come from a different perspective. We see the issues of life differently. And we know that God has an answer and a plan for our life as we continue to live this life. And that we respond differently to a lot of things than what the world responds to. And now, and even with the way the culture is now, as men of God, as believer in the Bible, we have to be in a place where we're starting to stand up against what's going on in the culture, because there's so much going on right now. And I want to say this too, for you old church folk and for some of you other folk, everything that's going on, this stuff is not new. It's just that it wasn't in your face. It was taboo. It was behind the doors. It was a lot of things going on, because I'm a child of the 70s, a teenager, 70s and 80s. You know, drag queens, crossing over, cross-dressing, homosexuality, none of that stuff is new. However, in this culture, they want to make it as normal, like there's nothing wrong and it's equivalent. And I remember back, let me think who was in president. It was Clinton, Obama, some back there when they wanted to say same-sex marriage and make it morally equivalent to a marriage of man and a woman, and then look where we are now today. So again, as the church, we have to stand on the Word of God and continue to preach the Word of God. And as fathers, we have to speak this into our lives of our children, because I'll share this real quick. One of my grandchildren. It was fifth grade. This is fifth grade. And he was telling me, and he was talking to his mother, and we was talking. He was talking about one of his friends in school said she was binary. This is someone he just goes to school with. I don't know how they got on it. But, yeah, she said she's binary. And I said, what is binary? He said, I don't know, but she said she's binary. I said, this is where it goes, because everybody's house ain't the same. I'm just saying. So, as fathers.
Right.
You laugh at it, that could be a joyful moment, but we have to have an answer for that. So let me say that. But I'm going to hold on, brother. I'm going back. I got another brother coming on. I'm going to share what he's got. Praise the Lord, brother. How are you? 6367. Good evening. Are you
there? Hey, Deke. How you doing, man? This is Pastor Larry Watkins.
How you doing, Pastor Larry Watkins? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Enjoying the conversation.
Hey, man. What you want to share, brother? Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Likewise, to both of you gentlemen. The one thing that I wanted to share was the joy that I get from fatherhood. One of the joys that I've gotten is when you see your children get it. You know, when you see your children understand the information that you've been trying to implant with them or train them or to impart into them, and you see them finally catch on and get it and then put it into practice and see them prospering in their own lives, it's a proud moment for me, because I see them and I was like, they're getting it. They understand. It's making sense to them. And that's a proud moment as a father, because you see the stuff with all the mistakes we make as fathers, with all the mistakes that we make in our lives. When you see somebody get the information that you've been trying to plant in them, and you see them get it and you see them prospering, it's a blessing to you to know that you helped to implant that information. And to see your child grow and get it, it is a wonderful experience. I remember my daughter went off to college, and her first couple of years of college, she was always calling me saying, "Daddy, I'm broke. I need money for food," or "Daddy, I'm broke. I need money for this. And I was like, "Baby, you got to learn to budget your money better. Let me take you to the store, show you how to do this. Let me show you how to make this much money last and go for it." And then she got to the point where she really didn't want to listen. And like the brother said, sometimes you got to step back and let them bump their heads. And at a certain point, I let her do that and let her bump her head. And until finally, when she was ready to graduate, I remember the last time I went to pick her up to take her to the grocery store and everything else, she taught me a lesson on how to budget money. And I was like, wow, it's a wonderful thing to see your child get it, you know? And that is just a joyous thing for me. What do you think, sir?
Amen. You're right, sir. That is one of the joy. I'm glad you brought that up. It is. The joy of seeing our kids, I like that. They're getting it. They're able to stand on their own two feet. Because, again, I know we forget this sometimes, but we all were someone else's child. Remember that. So now we're in this position, and that's the position we want our kids to get, that they can be able to now to fill that space as an adult. You know, because, again, we are called as fathers. We are growing adults, the future adults. And that's where the thing is we have to be mindful on how we're guiding and directing them and giving them this wisdom and knowledge. They can be productive adults in the society. They can't be our children all their whole life. But they have to step out there and adult up. Let's call it that. We want them to adult up. And to see them do that, I think that's one of the joys, to see them get that and go over the top. What do you say here, Deacon Gibbs?
I absolutely agree. I was sitting here clapping my hands when Pastor was talking, because it is a wonderful thing, because as fathers, when we talk to our children, they do a whole host of things, and which kind of gives us to think that they're not listening, right? My son had a tendency to nod their head, but they're looking at everything else in the room, right? And that's all of them, right? But it's amazing what happens when, as you're just doing something that's mundane, that you know that your child heard you, because there have been many, many situations where I'll walk into a room and I'll see one of my sons doing something. Like, they'll have the Bible open, and they're just kind of looking and searching. And I'll just go back out the room. Let me move, because they got it, right? You know, there's other situations where, we're at dinner, and a lady comes in, and they'll all stand up to let the young lady come in and take care of the chair. And I go, okay, I do that for their mother all the time. You know, so it's little things like that. And you don't think that they're watching you, but these children, men and women, boys and girls, are sponges for their parents and for my boys, especially for their father. They are sponges. There are things that I say, and I hear them repeat them to their brothers, and I go, okay, I'm doing something okay, because they're getting it, and sometimes I don't think they are, but they are getting it. And so you have to be mindful of what you're saying, what you're doing, and just everything that you're imparting to them, intentionally and unintentionally. Because sometimes
exactly.
you can just do something and you don't even think they're watching you. They're watching, they're hearing you, and they're taking it all in. And so you have to be that example at all times. And even when you make a mistake, own that mistake, talk to them about it, and move on.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know what, brothers? We hear, again, this is Christopher talking of Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, gentlemen, I appreciate you for taking time to join us. But I'm going to throw some things out there. We're going to do a rapid fire round right now. And I just want you to share with the brothers so we're going to encourage them. I'm looking at another article here. And I just wanted to share and get your thoughts on this. Because you're both, I think, well, you just mentioned it. So I'm going to come back around. I'm going to start with you, Pastor Watkins. As a father, how important do you think it is that, this is something we talk about a lot here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that a father accepts the responsibility for his children's spiritual training? Because we talk about this a lot because, some men, we turn it over to the youth department, we turn it over to the church, the children's church, or whatever. But as fathers, I think that's one of the things where we have to, again, when we're dealing with this culture, we have to make sure that their foundation, their faith is strong. And like you were sharing, Deacon Gibbs, you know, to the point where they're going to go into the word for themselves for that understanding. But how important is it that we accept that responsibility? This is something that we all are called to do as fathers, to take the responsibility of their spiritual training. We'll start with you, Pastor Watkins. What do you say?
I say that the first experience that a child should get of hearing about spiritual training or Bible study or understanding God's word should come from the father. And it should not be from the local church. The local church should be enforcing what they hear from their father and not the vice versa. The job of the father is to receive the information or the word from God and then to disseminate it to his family. The mistake that Adam made in the garden was not that he really ate the fruit, but was that he failed to stand up and tell his wife what the word of God actually said and stand up for the word of God. Because the father is to get the word, but he brings it back to the mother, and the mother helps to disseminate it to the family. They should not be hearing stuff for the first time from the church. They need to be hearing it in the home. They should be hearing the Ten Commandments in the home. They should be learning the books of the Bible in the home. They should be learning all this stuff in the home, and then the church reinforces what's being heard in the home, and Bible study and Sunday school, all of that reinforces what's being taught in the home. I think as we grew up, that became sometimes backwards because I know my father did not have a concept of church. He was a hustler. He knew the streets. He knew everything else. But having a concept of church, that wasn't his ideal. So I had to learn stuff at first at church and then to have it reinforced by my mother once I came home. But it should be the other way around. What do you think, sir?
Amen. I agree. I wasn't raised in the church, but I went on Easter and I went on, what other day did I go? I went a couple times, but
that would be Mother's Day.
Christmas. Oh, yeah, Mother's Day and Easter. That's it, because it wasn't Christmas, because we wasn't going on Christmas. But, yeah, Mother's Day and Easter. I've been there a couple times. I didn't put all the money in they gave me because, you know, I had to pass. I was hungry on the way back. But anyway. You know, and that's true. And again, I didn't come to faith until I was in my 30s. My children were already in their teens. So that was a process of me growing in my faith and then sharing. And like I said, that a lot of it was for the children's church and the youth ministry and all those things. But now looking back, but again, brothers, if you're steadfast and persevere, even now as my children are adults, it's about Bible study. It's about, sowing seeds into them. you know, and sowing seeds into them so they could sow it into our grandchildren. Because remember, this is a generational thing, and that's something I always share. A lot of us are the Abrahams of our bloodline. So we don't necessarily, whatever came behind us, but we are now, we are responsible for what comes now after us. And that's where we can serve God. We can press into the things of God. Deacon Gibbs, what do you say, sir?
I love these questions because this is stuff that we talk about all the time in the church where I serve and in my home. And so the man is supposed to be the priest of his home. You have to be the priest of your home. I mean, you can't rely on the church necessarily, right? That is an enhancement to what your children hear at home. You are the first point of contact for the spirituality of your home and of your children. And so that God gave Adam was responsibility. You have the responsibility for all that I'm giving you. And so when he slacked off, that's what happened. So we have to maintain the responsibility of our home, of our wives, and of our children. And the first thing that our children will learn in terms of our connection to God is how we treat our women and our their mother and our wives, right? I tell my sons all the time, you have a responsibility to be a husband, father, and a protector. If you get those three things right, you're on the right track, right? And so it is paramount that we are the first point of contact for all of it. And the only way we're going to get there is if we're rooted in the ultimate source of truth. And you know, being men of God and being the example for our children, it's just paramount. There's so much nonsense out there that if you don't counter it with truth, you don't know what's going to happen to your children. You know, it's a very difficult landscape. And it's put out there in such a way that it's almost, you know, everyone wants to make it palatable. Like, you must love me, and you, that's why you can agree to these things, because you love me. You have to, you know, if you love me, you won't hurt my feelings, and you'll go along with all of this stuff. Not so much, you know. The one thing I tell, and it's hard because I have boys, you know, and I don't know any other way but to be a man to my son. And so anything that is not of God, I can't get with it. I will not bend on that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's what we got to be steadfast in this thing. We have to be foundational, you know, because we're building the foundation for our family, for our bloodline, and honestly, we're giving them the foundation of what their lives are going to be long after we pass from here, because they have to go again. They have to grow up and go out there and be the adults, and be the future, and prayerfully they will be the future of the church also, because you know. A lot of stuff going on in churches because a lot of stuff, people got away with a lot of stuff in churches, and now, but that's a whole other show we could do. But it's staying faithful to what's right and what's obedient. I hear you in there, brother. I know. I heard you. I heard you. You that wasn't quiet. But anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on in the body of Christ, but we ain't not gonna talk about that. We're talking about homes. We're talking about fathers. We're talking about the joy of fatherhood. And I think that's one of the things that as men of God, I want to encourage everybody that's listening out there, for those who called in, those who are listening online, there's a joy. And don't let your circumstances, because I wanted to get into it, but I don't want to wear these brothers out. But we're gonna do this again on Saturday the 17th. We're gonna be live at 9 a.m. because I want to touch on some other things. I want to speak to some brothers I want to speak to some single fathers. And I want to speak to some brothers who may be struggling as we all know, with the visitation, the money, those issues. We're not going to go over that, but then you can find the joy in that. And I want to say some words to encourage those brothers out there. And if you're listening, if you got this link on your phone, I encourage you to share it with those brothers out there who may be in the midst. Because you know, man, if anybody of Christ who is struggling with visitation, child support, the issues, Father's Day, this weekend is not going to be good for them, and it's not going to be bring good. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's not celebrating. But we also want to be able to minister and have compassion for those brothers and encourage them. Because I know a brother right now, back in the 80s, it was terrible. But now we're in 2023, and the relationship has been reconciled everybody's been reconciled. The kids, the mother of his children, it's better now. It's been better now for a couple of years, like about 20 years. But in the 80s, it was crazy. And that's what I'm saying. You could be overwhelmed, but if you're patient, you persevere, and you man up, and you just hold on, it can be better, because God can reconcile these things and make it to where everybody can hear everybody. I'm going to put it like that. But we're going to talk about that on Saturday, so I encourage you to come and join us, listen in. Or, again, we'll be posting on our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we're going to have these conversations. This is why here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we encourage men's ministry and local churches, in your local gathering, a time where men come together to reason over the word and to encourage each other, hold each other accountable, challenge each other, and let us be men and deal with the issues that we're dealing with. Because we know that the same issues that the unbeliever deals with, we believe we deal with them in the church, but we respond differently. So this is the importance of men's ministry, that brothers can be discipled and mentored and be taught to be disciples and to be mentors. Amen. I want to share real quick, this weekend for the brothers here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area, we are having in Park Heights Father's Day Community Picnic and Cookout. It's going to be held at the Park Heights Saints Field, Park Heights Saints Field in Park Heights in Baltimore, in the Park Heights section. The flyer's up. It's going to be sponsored. It's being hosted and sponsored by Grace Community Church Men's Ministry. You can go to gracecommunitychurch.org. You'll see the link there, and it tells you where it is. It's Park Heights Saints Field in Baltimore. It's not an address, but it gives you directions there. So there's a Google map on the link, and it'll show you how to get there. And I tell you right now, it's over on the northwest. It's on the west side. People in Baltimore know what I'm talking about. But anyway, that's this weekend. Also, go on the Facebook page. There's a lot of community men's events in the community for fathers. There's softball game. There's one organization, they're doing a softball game. I know another organization, they're doing a basketball tournament, 3-on-3, I believe, father and son teams. There's a lot of things out there. Go out there, get connected, be networked together, be encouraged, bring your kids, and spend this whole weekend. And do it to connect and encourage one another. Amen? So I encourage you with that. I want to go around real quick, brothers. Again, I appreciate you all for taking time and joining me this evening for this conversation. I thank you for your words of wisdom, and I thank you for sharing. I want to go around, get your closing arguments. I'm going to start with you, Dickie Gibbs, your closing remarks, if you would, sir. Again, I appreciate you. And then Pastor Watkins, it will come to you, and you can close out in prayer, if you would, sir. Dickie Gibbs, thank you again, brother.
Yes, no problem. I just want to thank you for having this forum. I really appreciate it. But just as you said, it is an amazing responsibility to be a father and to raise children. And it is not to be entered into lightly. And it is a lifelong endeavor. However you come into it, there is no interruption. There is no quit. There is no going back. A call to be the leaders of the family. And when we do what we're supposed to do, having and taking responsibility for who we are, everything else can fall and should fall and will fall into line. So I thank you for this forum, and I look forward to
other conversations as we move forward. God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Be blessed. Pastor Watkins?
This thing called fatherhood is a lifelong commitment. From the time that you hear that you are a father, you're going to be a father, until the day that you leave this earth, you are constantly a father the whole time. Deacon Gibbs said, even when you think your kids are not watching you, they're watching you to see how you act, how you react, and how you're going to handle particular situations. And as you grow, you hear your kids repeating certain things that you say. You see your kids doing things that you used to do. You hear little phrases that you say in passing that your kids pick up on. And then as you get older, you go through a period in adolescence where you think your parents are the dumbest people in the whole wide world. But I told my kids a long time ago, I said, as I got older, my parents got smarter. They went from being idiots when I was 14, 15, and 16 to being the smartest people in the world when I got to be 21, 22, 23, and getting married and having your own kid. So being his father is a lifelong commitment, and we have to be willing to be in it for the long haul. It's nothing like being a father, man, and it's a joy to see your children grow. It's a joy to see your children come back to you and say, Dad, I thank you, or Dad, I appreciate you. And to hear those words come from a child that you helped to raise and that you poured in and dealt with and struggled with, a beautiful thing, man. And it's a joy just to be a father. So that is my word of wisdom for today. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Deacon Gibbs. Deacon Farr, I thank you always for this opportunity to share. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we appreciate you, Lord God, how we appreciate you for being the father of us all, to impart information into us, Lord God, that we can impart into our families. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would bless every man under the sound of my voice, whether it be they called in or they are on the website, whether they're hearing this as a recorded message or it's reaching out to them through some other means. Father, we pray, Lord God, that as a man, you would bless the concerns of their heart. Not necessarily as fathers, Lord God, but simply first as a man. In order to be a good father, you must first be a good man. So, Father, we ask that you bless them as men, and then, Lord God, as fathers. We pray, Lord God, that you would grant them wisdom, understanding. We pray that you would grant them the blessings that they need, the financial blessings, the transportation, the jobs, the careers, the homes, Lord God, that they need to help and take care of their children and impart in their children, Lord God. Help them to see the joy that there is in looking into the eyes of their own children and seeing themselves in their children. Father, we thank you for this thing called fatherhood. Now we ask, Lord God, that you will bless us, keep us, watch over us as we leave from this conversation. And as we are away, we pray that you would cover us and bring us back again, Lord God, so that we can partake once more. Thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your time, and for your blessing. We pray most of all for thanking you for your spirit, Lord God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless.
Father, open up our hearts and say,
rain, Lord.